Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, June 5th, 2015, and on today's podcast, we continue the discussion that we started in last Wednesday's podcast, a discussion about the end of our 70-year experiment with socialism as an economic system. It has been an experiment conducted on almost the whole human race for over 70 years, and the results of that experiment are fairly obvious. When World War II ended in 1945, the world lay in ruins. Much of Europe, Russia, and the Far East, just a bunch of bombed-out cities with destroyed economies and starving people. The victorious Allied powers held a conference at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. And in this conference, they discussed who would run the world, especially the world's economy. And it was determined that the United States, being literally the only country in the world with an intact economy, and so the U.S. dollar was selected as the world's reserve currency, and international trade would be conducted in U.S. dollars. The Western world, or the free world as it was known during the Soviet era, was also concerned about how to confront the Soviet Union and its expansionist plans, the policy of containment of communism, its resulting wars, and Soviet countermeasures to containment would make for an interesting podcast someday. But for today, the West entered into negotiations which resulted in the NATO Treaty. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was an alliance of Western nations formed to resist Soviet expansion in Western Europe. In effect, NATO was a way for the United States to put Europe on military welfare, and it's been on welfare ever since, until now. The deal was, we'll defend you, and you can be our vassals. The United States freed all these countries from having to defend themselves. The result is that in the ensuing 70 years, 70% of the NATO budget has been covered by the United States. And today, NATO is an empty shell. Without the U.S., NATO as a military force is practically non-existent. European Union rules require only 2% of GDP as a military budget commitment, but hardly any of them live up to it. Great Britain is currently refusing to commit to 2%. The Washington Post reports that the British Army will soon shrink to 80,000 and then possibly 50,000, which would be smaller than at any time since the American Revolution and smaller than the New York City Police Department. As the Washington Post writer Fareed Zakaria put it, Britain has resigned as a world power after an incredible 300-year run, but the result of all this has been that the United States' commitment to military spending and defense against the Soviet Union saved Europe a lot of money, trillions of dollars over the past 70 years. With that money, Europe built the grandest welfare state ever seen on Earth. This new system was pretty simple, really. You could call it robbing Peter to pay Paul, or call it a giant Ponzi scheme. The U.S. also gradually converted to socialism, but the scheme was less elaborate, and so it took longer to destroy the nation that hundreds of years of hard work had built. Politicians in the United States, being clever and resourceful people, used the U.S. welfare scheme to develop a system that is very similar to prostitution, whereby they could remain in power by simply promising the most free stuff to the most people. As H.L. Mencken used to put it, quote, every election is just an advance auction of stolen goods, end quote. But as Margaret Thatcher once said, the trouble with socialism, you eventually run out of other people's money. That time is now. Other people's money has run out. For evidence, just look at Greece and the lessons of reality being driven home to Greece by the ruling elite banking class for the benefit of Greece's new, quote, progressive government. So Europe is broke, and America is broke too. But they manifest themselves in different ways. The governments do not have the honesty and the courage to face their people and tell them the party is over. No more supplements, no more subsidies, no more 8-week vacations. And we have to start defending ourselves. Europe says the United States is broke from its wars, its bailouts, and its welfare schemes, and is unable to continue defending us. Europe has military and security threats everywhere you look, from the Middle East, a terrible immigration crisis, from the East, Russia in particular, and a huge buildup of military strength should be underway, but the only way it can be paid for is for Europe to dismantle its welfare state, and the people would not like that. The people have become totally dependent. For decades, they've been dependent. And they can no longer feed themselves. They are no longer resourceful. They protest because they just know there's more money out there. More money can be borrowed from somebody in some place. The Eastern European countries that were part of the old Soviet Union are starting to react to all this. They pledge themselves as vassals to Europe, to the European Union, which promised to defend them but has now left them broke and defenseless. In the face of Russian intransigence, the Baltic countries, consisting of Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, are now reinstituting conscription. Lithuania has just started conscription to rebuild its armed forces. The Czech Republic has plans for a draft. And in Poland, popular support for conscription is rising. The socialist world has run its course, it seems, and there is no more credit, no more money to borrow. People once started to question common sense during this system. They started to think perhaps there is such a thing as a free lunch. Perhaps the borrower really doesn't become the slave of the lender, but reality comes back to bite us. Governments can't face reality because politicians want to hold on to power. That's what they do. At all costs, they hold power. That is what is causing the move to a cashless society that we talked about last Wednesday. Governments finding ways to hold on to power in the face of a collapsing socialist system. Since governments can't give up power, the result is total collapse. The question becomes, what then? See, governments can't make a smooth transition to a system that actually works because they have to hold power, so collapse is inevitable. Governments are obviously working to make the entire world a giant, fully monitored concentration camp. That's the way it seems to me, so they can force compliance with their rules and their credit. Finally, folks, will it be more and more authoritarian? Will we accept that? Will we return to the ideas of Jefferson and Madison and usher in a new golden age of prosperity? Time will tell, folks. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.